So tonight we start the Red Book. As you notice, starting the Red Book, we're not starting in chapter 1 or 2 because we have those classes in step 2. We are starting in chapter 3. You all right? Oh, you need more? Very. I know, it's very exciting, isn't it?
Okay, you do. The sanctuary.
Yes. I believe they're going to be running two at a time, so you can choose which ones you want, but ultimately going through all of the classes. So we're going to be starting in chapter 3 of the Red Book. If you don't have a book and you'd like a book, I think he said we have like 10 left. They're available, or you can get them on Amazon.com for, it's a lot cheaper. Amazon, I think it's half price on Amazon. You can order it through your for your iPad or whatever, Kindle, or however you want to run that. So tonight we want to cover the topic, which is called knowing the will of God. This is one of the great secrets of the church. But I want to blow it out of the sky tonight because it's not and never has been a secret. God's will is not hidden. A lot of people make it so that you got to have rug burn on your face or you got to beg God and plead with God. We need more chairs. They're going to get more chairs for you folks. Thanks for coming. Oh, great. Awesome. So the real goal is making sure that you understand how easy it is. Everybody say it's easy.
Easy.
What's that little button? The Staples button. That was easy. Learning the will of God is easy. It is not hard. And the challenge is so many believers have been taught that the will of God is mysterious. Ooh. God's will is not mysterious. God's will is easy. So when you understand how to understand God's will, your life is easily lived. Because now you know the directions you have to take. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So we understand how to walk in his path, then you don't have to walk around delusional and wondering what my purpose is. So we're going to help you with that starting tonight. Is that fair?
Amen.
All two of you, glory to God. Now, it was really fun in Bible school because people like to make this like really spooky. So in Bible school, we took this one kid, right? And we set up a little microphone underneath his bed, and we waited for him to go to sleep. And then we said, "Go to Africa." And he was sleeping, man. He's like, he wakes up after the second time. He's kind of freaking out. He really thinks he heard the voice of God. No, it was the voice of Spencer. Go to Africa. But this is where so many believers try to make it all spooky. God's will is easy. Turn to someone and say, it's easy.
Easy.
Now, recognizing how God talks to us is very important because we're in a relationship. I want to remind you of that. We're not in a religion. So because we're in a relationship, we not only talk to God, but he talks to us. You're not rambling when you pray. God hears you and God will answer you. Really? Now, my Uncle Howard, he's a preacher. My mother's sitting back there. I lost my uncle's name somewhere. I found it, though. My Uncle Howard told me he was called to the ministry by the audible voice of God. He said one day God spoke to him audibly. He heard God's voice to go into the ministry. He said it scared him so badly he asked God never to do that again. Everybody's wondering how God's voice can be heard. But I want you to know it is easy. Turn to someone and say, it is easy. So let's talk about how God talked in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was much different than for today. I want to remind you that in the Old Testament, the only people who ever heard the voice of God were the priests, the prophets, and the kings. That's it. God did not talk to his people like he talks to us today. God did not have a relationship with them like he has today. In the Old Covenant, God did not have the intimacy with the people like he has today. You see, if you remember, Adam and Eve committed sin. When they committed sin, it created a breach. When the breach happened, then God could no longer walk with them in the cool of the day. So what happened was, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And the very first blood that was shed when? When? In the fall, remember they hid themselves behind fig leaves? God actually killed animals and clothed them with animal skins. That's the very first blood that was ever shed in the Bible. Sad, isn't it? Because something innocent has to die when we sin. And so here we are in the old covenant. They used to kill animals. Now, if you could ever imagine the amount of animals that were sacrificed for the sins of the people, it is probably astronomical. I want to remind you that about 2.5 million people left Egypt. And when they started sacrificing to God, the blood was just massive. And so all the blood of the animals in the old covenant did not wash the sins of the people away. It only covered the sin. Well, because it was covered, they still could not be in the intimate presence of the Lord. So it's important to recognize that the people in the old covenant did not have a relationship where they could talk with God and God would talk with them. Only we have that. Turn to someone and say, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Now, the fact, I'll just give you a verse. 1 Kings chapter 17, 15 through 17. So he went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he turned her household ate for many days. The bin of the flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. So Elijah was a prophet of the Lord. So God would speak to the prophets. God would also speak to the priests. We know in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, 8 and 9. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, and he was a high priest, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. That's encouraging, isn't it? It should be a statute forever throughout your generations. So God would speak to the prophets. He would actually talk with them. In fact, many times with the prophets, which is really cool, they would always call in a psalmist. They would call in somebody who could worship. And the worship would always stimulate the voice of the Lord. That's why when you're in worship, it is so powerful. Because you can actually hear the voice of God. And that's the most intimate time for you to be able to hear God's direction in your life. The other are the leaders or the kings. We know that God spoke to David. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. So we know that God spoke only in the old covenant to the kings, the prophets, and the priests, not to the people. Now, I don't know about you. I kind of like that God has a relationship with us. Amen. I like the fact that not only do we speak to him, but he speaks to us. And you need to recognize that Jesus, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 6, Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. What are those better promises? The very best promise is that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I today can literally have a relationship with God himself. We can call him Abba Father. That is the most intimate word in the Aramaic for daddy. We can talk with him. We can walk with him. We can have a relationship with him. You're not crazy when you hear the voice of God. God wants to speak to you. God loves to talk to his children. This is relationship. So in the New Testament, this is where you and I are blessed. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16 says this. Seeing that we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with the weakness, but at all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in the time of need. I love this because what in the old covenant they could not do, we completely have the privilege of. And that is, we can come before the throne of God boldly. When we are covered in the blood of Jesus, how many of you love Jesus? How many of you are born again and ask Christ into your life? Amen. That means your sins are washed away. That means, according to John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, you are now called children of God. Which is awesome about this is that now what Adam and Eve have, we have. So God has opened. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the temple veil? It tore from top to bottom. They say it would take 2 6-horse hitches on either side. So that's 12 horses to even come close to being able to tear that. But when Christ died on the cross, it tore on its own from top to bottom. Why was that important? Because only once a year could a high priest go behind that curtain into the presence of the Almighty. But now, when Christ died, it was torn, and now every believer, every blood-washed son and daughter of the King, now has the right to come before the throne of God. But not just before the throne of God. He's saying, you can come before my throne boldly. The word boldly means outspoken. That means he really is okay with hearing you. This is all about relationship. Anybody ever have a situation where you needed something? So you walked up to him and say, hey, man, I just need this. That's boldness. God says you can come before his throne boldly and give your request to him. So, there it is, the temple veil. Mark chapter 15, verse 38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So what ways does the Father use to speak and direct us? Romans chapter 8, verse 14 is probably one of the most important verses for the New Testament believer. We have a lot of weird ideas in church. You just need to know that. A lot of people have been taught really badly. So what we do in this class is we teach you the Bible, not our perspective. Amen. Is that fair? You don't need to know my opinion. You need to know what the Bible says. Because it's the Bible moves God, yes. Not Spencer. So our purpose is to make sure you understand what God is saying and how you are to hear his voice and be led by him. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, and these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Now remember, when you became born again, something happened in your life. It was not just a religious membership. The Bible says that the moment you accepted Christ, for if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. The moment you are saved, that the Bible declares that you now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That literally, not figuratively, your spirit man that was dead has now become alive. What was once dead is now alive. What was once dark is now light. You are now a changed person. Corinthians makes the declaration, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a brand new creature in Christ. You are not the same individual. And what's literally happened is you become possessed. You have not become oppressed, but literally possessed. God, by his Spirit, literally, not figuratively, has now come to dwell inside of you. Turn to someone and say, I am possessed.
I'm possessed.
Oh my God! No. Remember, the devil only has ever come to counterfeit what God has done. I think there's a few more chairs. There you go. So what's happened is this, is there's a need to recognize that God is the one who first brought up and positioned possession, not the devil. God wanted to live inside of a man. He wanted to work with him, deal with him, love him. So now that you're born again, you are literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, by his Spirit, literally, not figuratively, dwells inside of you. Who is the Holy Spirit? We know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are three, yet one. The Bible makes the declaration in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, talking about mankind. Father God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three yet one. You are spirit, soul, and body, three yet one. So here we are made in the image of God, but once you and I have now confessed Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is God working on this planet, is now literally, not figuratively, dwelling inside of you. Now that's good and bad. How many of you ever thought you could hide something from God? How many of you have taken God some places he's never should have been? Selah. You know, this is very powerful because when you recognize the power of possession, there's oppression, which means you are moved by. Possession means you are owned by. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. So it's no longer you living, it's Christ living. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease so he can increase. So what you're doing is you're allowing God to live through you. With that are phenomenal benefits. I call it inside trading. When the one who dwells inside of you knows everything. Present, past. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows every attack that will come in your life. He knows every situation that's coming down your trail. He knows success and he knows your failures. When that person dwells inside of you and you are submitted to him, these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you directs you, that is the ultimate plan of God for how to hear the voice of the Lord and how to walk in his ways. It's easy. It's easy. Yes, young man. I guess. Can you give him a hand clap for passing all those out? Sacrificing his life. Hallelujah. The word led there means take, to be led or take with one. So God's desire by the Holy Spirit is to direct you by the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we have a lot of weird ideas. And that's true. I am on page 4 of chapter 3. Page 4 of chapter 3. If you want to buy a book, they're over there to purchase. You can buy them online on Kindle for about $20 less if you would like to do that. That is available for you. Yes.
Are they free for kids?
They are not free for children. I pay for them, so they're not free for you either. Okay. I want to show you some things that have really messed a lot of people up. And that is, a lot of people are not led by the Holy Spirit, but they're led by their pastor. I want you to know that it is not the pastor's job to lead you. It is the pastor's job to give you the word that the Spirit and the word always agree to lead you. I've taught my staff for years. I had staff members many, many years ago who liked counseling. They liked sitting down with people and giving their opinion. And I looked at them many, it was over a decade ago, and I actually put it in their in the employee handbook. You are not allowed to counsel. If I catch you counseling, I will fire you. As a pastor, you're not allowed to. What do you mean, pastor? I just need some counsel. No, you don't have a right to counsel anybody. Because our opinion means nothing. What matters is the word of God. And so we do what we call biblical life management. Which is simple. I give you the word, I'll break down the word, and I'll usually give you options. If you sit with me, I'll give you 3 options. This one will work, this one will damn you, and this one is just foolish. You choose. I don't give direction because I'm not the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit speaks through the word, you know it's always God. The Spirit and the word always agree. Say that with me out loud. The Spirit and the word always agree. Say it one more time. The Spirit and the word always agree. Now, some are also led by the church. Well, the church says it's okay that I live this sin. You know, there's nothing wrong with me living in this sin because, you know, the church says it's okay. It doesn't matter what the church says. It matters what the word says. Amen. Who's the word? Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. If you want to know the voice of God, Jesus said, I only say what the Father has told me to say. I only go where the Father has told me to go. I only do what the Father has told me to do. So if you want to know who God is, Jesus said it best in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when you want to know who God is, then you watch Jesus. The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38 makes a declaration how God sent Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who sent him? God did. Whatever Jesus did, you know the Father will do. Why? That's the nature. Christ is the nature of the Father. Therefore, if you want to know the will of God, you've got to watch Jesus. The red letters in your Bible are important. I love the epistles. I love the Old Testament, but the red letters, folks, red letters, Jesus. He's the rock. I see that hand.
You highlighted him green, so that means you like Christmas.
I do like Christmas, but I usually like Christmas in July. So, it's very important that you recognize that the red letter, you need to know Christ. This is relationship. So these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit and the Word always agree, Jesus being the Word, Jesus only doing what the Father said. So when you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, it's very easy. The number one way to be led by the Holy Spirit, the number one way to know the will of God for your life, the number one way to hear the voice of God is to open the Bible and read the red letters.
Amen.
Well, I don't like to read. Duh. How many of you recognize there are things you just don't like to do that are good for you?
Amen.
I don't know. I can't tell.
How many remember taking your children for their first inoculations?
I haven't. What's that?
You haven't. That's when you take your children in and they get shots, long needles, thrusted into their body. Honestly, I was getting ready to go to Africa 2 years ago. We were going to go to Liberia, and that was just before the Ebola struck. And we were all ready to go, and I had to go get shots. I want you to know, at my age, I was not happy about getting shots. But the fact was is that I needed the yellow fever shot. Why? Because it's very easy to get yellow fever from the mosquitoes, and you can die from that. So I didn't want to die, so I got an inoculation. I didn't really like the inoculation. I didn't like paying for the inoculation. I didn't like having to drive 2 hours to get the inoculation. But yeah, I had to drive to Scranton to get the inoculation. But one thing I realized was I don't want to die. I don't like doing this. I don't want to die. I don't like doing this. I don't want to die. I don't like doing this. I don't want to die. So I have to make a choice which one is the, yeah, which one works better. I don't want to die. So I drove 2 hours, paid someone to thrust a needle into my arm and put something in me I have no clue so that I don't die if when I go to Africa. So it's important to know that you've got to read the Word. If you want to know God's will, you've got to know the Word. The devil will keep you as ignorant as possible, and you'll actually start believing things that are not Bible, that are not going to lead you into blessing. Remember, you can't live any way you want and get God's blessing. So you're not led by your pastor, you're not led by your church, and you're not led by the prophets. Big movement, man. It's probably kind of, it's calmed down a little bit in our area. But there was a big movement where you had to go find a prophet and have him prophesy over you. Oh, I remember I was at this one location, and this woman, we had a prayer meeting. The prayer meeting was almost done. And all of a sudden, someone walked up and said, "Pastor, I just need a word from the Lord." And I said, "Well, you should pray and read the Bible." They wanted me to prophesy. And I looked at them and said, "No, listen, I am not a spiritual, what's the word I wanted to look for? Psychic. If God gives a word, I'll give the word. But the fact is that I'm not running around trying to find somebody to speak at me and into me. I got the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of me. I don't need anybody to prophesy over me." But there's nothing wrong with prophecy. It's a great confirmation. But remember, in the old covenant, they were always directed by the prophets who were the only ones who heard from God.
Right.
But in the New Testament, the prophet's job has changed. They are a confirming value. They are not the directive value. Why? Because the one who gave them direction dwells where? Hello. You got every word from God you need. God is waiting to give it to you. So you're not led by the pastor, you're not led by the church, and you're not led by prophets. So, we are not directed by the pastor. I just went through that, didn't I?
Yep.
You know, there was a big movement. Has anybody ever heard of the shepherding movement? It was a really big movement. Actually, it was in this area. There was a church in Elmira. Actually, I think it was Horseheads. And there was a church in Ithaca. And these were shepherding churches where the pastors, for whatever reason, wanted to be used to lead everybody's life. So before you'd made any decision in your life, you had to go to the pastor and ask permission.
What? That's stupid.
I agree with you. I mean, if you wanted to marry somebody, you would have to go to the pastor and say, can I marry them? And if he said no, it didn't matter how much you loved them, you couldn't marry them. Yeah, I understand that. That's why you're here. There was other people I knew that the pastor actually walked up and said, you know, I know that you married them, but you married them before you really were closer to the Lord. And the Lord told me that you're not supposed to be with them. You need to be with somebody else. Divorce them. I've had others where they went to the pastor and the pastor said, you know, I know you're making $100,000 a year, but I really think that you need to come clean the church. So quit your job. And they would quit their job, and they would come work at the church for free. They'd lose everything. They'd lose their house. They'd lose their family. They'd lose everything. So the shepherding movement was a big movement where people relied upon the pastor to bring the word from the Lord to their life. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. He's the same Holy Spirit who dwelled inside of Jesus and the same Holy Spirit who dwells inside of me. You have the same Holy Spirit that dwells inside of T.D. Jakes, the same Holy Spirit that dwells inside of Joyce Myers, the same Holy Spirit that dwells inside of Benny Hinn and dwells inside of Brother Ted Shuttlesworth and dwells inside of Teddy Shuttlesworth and dwells inside of Jonathan Shuttlesworth, and we can go through all the Shuttlesworths. The same Holy Spirit dwells in you. So the issue is not that the Holy Spirit is going around you. You just need to learn how to listen to him. Amen. A lot of people pray, and they just talk a lot. You ever gone to lunch with somebody who just talks a lot?
Hey, that's me.
Take them to lunch. You ever been with somebody like that? I mean, you sit there and you can't get a word in edgewise.
They've been vaccinated with
the phonograph needle.
What's that?
You're way too young. But there are people that you go and you talk with, and my goodness, you just know you can sit there, and 2 hours later. The very first time I went, you remember Pastor Andrea, her husband, Prophet Ogunwumi from Nigeria. I love the prophet. The very first time I met the prophet, now he's from Nigeria, actually Liberia, born in Nigeria, grew up in Liberia. So I went out to lunch with him the very first time I met him. We're at Olive Garden. And I could understand every third to fourth word. His dialect was so strong. I ate 6 bowls of soup. And I don't even think I said any more than 5 words. And he went home, Pastor Andrew told me this later, went home and he said, sweetie, he eats lots of soup. But the point was, I didn't need to talk. I mean, he went 2 hours straight, whoosh. And I couldn't understand a word he was saying anyways. And that's a lot of us during our time of prayer with the Lord. We talk and talk and talk and talk. We need this. We need this. Lord, I need this. You know, he's our, you know, local convenience store. But we forget that he wants to talk to us too. So in our time of prayer, we've got to etch out. Oh, I just spit on you. Hold on. Let me get that. Jesus. We got to. Dangerous position. We've got to make. Sorry, beautiful. It's holy. It's holy spit. So hallelujah. We just got to know that honestly, we're in a position where we have to listen, not just talk, because he wants to talk to you. I mean, he might do the audible voice. Has anybody in the room ever heard the audible voice of God? There usually is. Yeah? Yes? In the back? Yes? Amen. How many of you have ever never heard the audible voice of God?
Oh, that's me.
Amen. That's me too. I've never heard the audible voice of God. How many of you just... You felt a strong impression to move forward, and you couldn't shake it. And when you did it, you found out it was the voice of God. We call that candy. I'll explain that later. Yes? And absolutely. That's not audible. No. Audible is like literally like you, me talking to you right now. You lead a load in your britches. and you pray often.
What does leave a load in your prayer?
I'm too young. It's too young to talk to you. Yes, led by the Spirit. Here we go. There are some people who try to be led by fleeces. This is a big church thing now. It's called a fleece. F-L-E-E-C-E.
Isn't that like a jacket?
Sort of. It's what they did was they would take the fur of a sheep, and there'd be a fur of a sheep, and that would be called a fleece. So let me explain how church people do this. Lord, if you do this, I'll know it's you. Lord, if you have three people call me, I'll know it's you, and that's how I'm going to know to move forward in my life. Mm-hmm. Listen, fleecing only happened once in the Bible. It did happen, but it happened once. You can't make a principle out of a one-time experience. The Bible never said, these are the children of God who are led by the pastors.
Amen.
These are the children of God who are led by the church. These are the children of God who are led by the prophets. These are the children of God who are led by the fleece. No. These are the children of God who are led by the
Spirit.
Where does he live? Inside of you. So where's the voice going to come from?
Inside.
Now another one that people do is this. It's called the open and closed doors. Lord, if you open this door for me, I know it will be you. I remember one time I was on the road as an evangelist, and I was praying that God would open up a church that we could come off the road and do that. And sadly enough, the moment I said, Lord, if you'll open the door for me, I'll walk in it, three churches opened up for me. Ohio, and Pennsylvania. So now I don't have one church. I have three churches. Which open door is God? Door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Or none.
This is the issue. When you start praying God open and close doors, that was only done
once.
That is not how church works, and that is not how God works. And the problem is a lot of people have just got some bad teaching. Lord, if you open this door, I'll know it's you. Well, listen. Out of those three churches, you know which one I took? None. Because not one of them was God. I would not be here today if I had taken one of those churches. I would never have been in Horseheads, New York. You see, this is why every decision that we make does not just affect us, but affects generations. And every decision you and I make that are not led by the Holy Spirit can negatively impact generations of people. If I had opened or taken one of those open doors, one of them was a church of 300. Established church, beautiful buildings, great opportunity, awesome pay. In fact, what they offered me, I make right now. That was 18 years ago. Everything looked beautiful. And I stood there and the Holy Spirit said to me, nope. And I said, but God, this is your opportunity. You gave it. Nope. I could not find the peace. And I was wise enough not to do it. Because if I had, this church wouldn't be sitting in the middle of this cornfield. Every decision that we make, every decision, these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Every decision that's not being led by the Spirit of God affects generations. True. So you and I can't take this as play games. Whoop. Oh, well. We're all going to have oops and oh, well as we're learning. But you shouldn't have to go around the mountain three or four times.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can. Well, let me ask you a question. What if the devil closes it?
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. The open and closed door mentality and how we're led by God is never biblical. It happened once. And we've made doctrines out of them. And the problem is that people have lived their whole lives that way. And God's grace is good. I mean, God's merciful. Sadly enough, you only know what you're taught. So, I mean, I live that way. I learned that way. I live that way. It was the wrong way. Anybody ever learn something the wrong way? How many of you learned that it was easier to do it the right way? How many of you did it the wrong way and it cost you something very, very expensive? Amen. Amen.
I have never read some books, though, that said something about when you pray, like when you say if it's God's will, but it's basically this teaching like you're not, that's not the right way because I don't want to.
Her prayer, she's saying that she's reading a book that right now says if it's God's will. If it's God's will is usually when you're praying futuristic. Because you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. He does. Where does he live?
Up there.
Inside of you. So if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you're praying, Holy Spirit, I just want to be led by you, you're going to be led by a principle called peace. I'll get into that in just a second. So the open and closed door process, I want you to recognize, is not the Lord. You are not led by circumstances. Well, I believe in fate. You do. Well, then that's not Bible. There is no such thing as fate. What? I thought there was fate. Nope. No fate. You see, what's happened is people are relying upon circumstances to dictate where they're going to be in life. God doesn't do fate. These are the children of God who are led by the These are the children of God who are led by the
Spirit.
These are the children of God who are led by fate.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. These are the children of God who are led by open and closed doors.
No.
These are the children of God who are led by fleeces.
No.
These are the children of God who are led by the pastors.
No.
These are the children of God who are led by the church.
No.
These are the children of God who are led by the prophets.
No.
These are the children of God who are led by the
Spirit.
Where does he live?
He dwells inside.
Exactly. So here we're showing you that a lot of the church foolishness has cost people great things. And that's the sad part. Because people genuinely want to be led by the Holy Spirit, but have been genuinely taught wrong and therefore making genuinely bad mistakes that are going to truly cost you. Can I hear an amen or am I?
Amen.
The Bible says we walk by faith and not by
sight.
So you can't allow circumstances to dictate whether it's God or not. Because a circumstance can easily be brought in by the devil. Or a circumstance can be simply just something that happens. You cannot live that way. That is never God. That is not God's plan. That is happenstance. That is yahoo! Flying by the seat of your pants. And let me tell you, your pants are going to get ripped. So you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about that. The greatest way the Holy Spirit... I know, aren't we? We're cruising. It's 7:45. I feel a miracle coming on tonight.
Amen.
I'm not going on any rabbit trails.
Can we just keep doing this?
Yeah, I am under pressure. I got a whole team that's staring at me. They're actually... The whole team's wondering if I'm going to make it tonight. I have the whole team, the whole ministry team is wondering. I think Cody was sent here as a spy. Yeah, he was sitting over in that corner. He just stepped out. The number one way to hear the voice of God is through the Word of God. Let me say it again. The number one way to hear the voice of God is through the Word of God. This is why the devil works so hard to keep you out of the Bible. He works so, I've seen people make such foolish decisions. I had a person come up to me and said, I was at a psychic and the Lord spoke through them. Oh, yeah. Really?
That's the stupidest thing I've
said. Well, no, it's not stupid because if that person's never been taught, they don't know. And the problem with that is they didn't hear from Jesus because God in his word condemns anybody who's a psychic, and if they were in the Old Testament, they'd have been stoned to death. He said they're an abomination to him. But this person actually stood there they were excited to tell me. I'm their pastor. Excited. I heard from the Lord the other day. I went to a psychic. Well, they heard from a demon. But they had never been taught. But if they knew the word says that psychics are an abomination before the Lord. So therefore, an abomination is never going to cough up the word of the Lord. You've got to know the scriptures. I had a woman come up to me one time. I know I've told some of these stories before. A woman came up to me before and she said, "The Lord told me to leave my husband and my two children to go on the road as an evangelist." And I said, "Wrong God." She said, "How dare you tell me that I'm not hearing the voice of God?" I said, "It's really easy. Because the Spirit and the Word always agree. And what you're hearing, what you think is the Holy Ghost, ain't the Holy Ghost. Because God would never divide a family." So you're hearing the wrong God. They were mad enough they left. The Word of God is your number one way to hear his voice. And the Spirit of the Lord will always agree with the Word. So the more you know the Word, the easier it is for you to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The challenge with American churches today is most Christians don't know the Word of God. And I curtsy you for being in this class because you've made a determination that I'm giving up a Tuesday night. You're giving up right online. We have people all over online, not just the folks in Pennsylvania, but people all over the place. We have people from Massachusetts on tonight. They're watching and they're learning the Word of God. And so what's happened is this. If you do not know the word, the devil will bamboozle you. What? The devil knows the Bible. The devil knows enough to get you in deep trouble. How do we know that? Luke chapter 4. We see that Jesus was tempted of the devil. The devil used the Bible to tempt Jesus to sin. He used scriptures, half truths, to try to get Jesus to turn against God. Now, if Jesus only knew part of the word, how easy would it have been to be led by the devil instead of led by the Holy Spirit? You must know the word. Let me say that again. You must know the word. In this church, I am very passionate about this. If you've been here any period of time, you'll recognize that we are very much a teaching church. I love preaching on a Sunday. But it doesn't do any good to get you only half gospelized. You've got to know the word. And so the books that we go out of in this class, I actually penned. It took me over 2 years to pen these books. And these books are solid doctrine. And when you get into them, what they do is they teach you who you are in Christ. This class, its whole purpose is so that you don't have to be ignorant. Too many Christians are dumb as stones. And I'm not being too bad, but that's the truth. They're dumb as stones. What do I mean, dumb as stones? Well, that's not nice. I mean, they don't know the Bible. Because they don't know the Bible, the devil plays with them all over the place. They're led to and fro, up and down, sideways and top. And they're wondering, well, what's the will of God? Because they don't know the Bible, they cannot distinguish the voices. They cannot distinguish the direction. And it all comes down to, Jesus said, "My children know my voice." The greatest way to know the voice of God is to be in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will never disagree with the Scripture. Amen. 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 In fact, when I preach the Word, you're a fool if you are not checking out the verses that I use. Amen. If you're believing everything that I say, you're foolish. Amen. Absolutely foolish. Amen. But I trust you. Don't trust somebody that much.
Nope.
I'm not here to bamboozle you. I'm not here to lie to you and deceive you. But it's called being a Berean. Yeah. A Berean is one who studied the word, which means, like Sunday's message, truth bends facts. You know what happens if you actually check out whether that's truthful or not? You know what you're going to find? It's absolutely the truth. And when you study it out, you know what you're going to find? Your faith will get stronger. And you'll believe in the truth. Who's to the truth? Jesus is the truth. Who's Jesus? He's the Word. The more you're in the Word, the more you'll know truth. The more you know truth, the truth shall make you free. This is not about religion. This is not about being just these folk that just meander around calling themselves little Christianettes. This is sons and daughters of God making a difference on this planet. And the only way to make a difference on this planet is to know the voice of God who will direct you through the Word of God. Some people will never hear the audible voice of God. I'm okay with never hearing the audible voice of God as long as I have His Word. Because His Word is the vocal point for me. Amen. Now, the next is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 and 12 says this. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. One of the easy ways to hear the voice of God, besides the word of the Lord, is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you'll actually hear inside, you'll hear what he's saying to you. Some people have heard that, some people haven't. And you know, they judge actually their spirituality. Well, I've never heard that way. We all hear differently. But his will always complies with
the word.
Have you ever gone to the supermarket before and you're in the checkout line and there is a Musketeers bar and you walked by it and you went, that's shiny. And you said, I don't really need that. And you're standing in line. The lady in front of you has 26 boxes of Kellogg's Corn Crisps. I don't know what they are. It's like Captain Crunch. There you go. With Crunch Berries. Jesus, come on. I'm hungry already just talking about it. And you're standing there as all of a sudden the checkout line goes on. Beep, 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 beep. So they need help. And you're sitting there and you're drawn back to the shiny package. You're moving ahead just to get away from that shiny package, but you just can't seem to get away from that shiny package. So finally you pick up the shiny package. And you know, you got another 20 minutes waiting in that line. You should have gone to the one before. If you were led by the Holy Ghost, you would have been. You open the shiny package, and you know, you're not stealing it. You're going to make them run it through later. You eat that, and the first bite is just like Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And it is just so satisfying. That nudging, many times, is the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you feel that nudge, You try to avoid it. Well, that's me. Is that me or is that God? Is that me or is that God? The moment you're saying, is it me, is it God? It's usually God. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm trying to get it. All right. That nudge, that I can't get this out of my head thing. I know this is, okay, well, here I go. And you grab that Musketeer's bar. And now the satisfaction comes. That you're no longer getting that nagging sensation. The nag is the Holy Ghost. He is a great nag. I mean, you'll be standing there, and you'll just look at somebody, and the Holy Spirit will say, go talk to them. And you'll feel, I don't want to. I don't know them. Go talk to them. You can leave, and it doesn't matter. You got to come back and talk to them. or you've got a long night ahead of you.
And you'll have regrets.
And you will have regrets. I remember one time I was in eighth grade drawing class, mechanical drawing class. And I was sitting at the drawing table against this wall, and a kid walked by. His name was Gumpy. Gumpy Wilson. Remember Gumpy Wilson? Gumpy Wilson walked by, and he looked at me, eighth grade, and he said, "What's so different about you, Spencer?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Tell him." And I went, "Nope, nothing." And he kept walking, and I never had another opportunity to share the gospel with him. He became an acid freak. I think he had two or three kids out of wedlock before he ever got married. And his life never, to my understanding still, has never come back to Christ. And that nudging of the Holy Spirit could have been the moment of change for him. I knew it. I knew it. And I'll never forget it. Because you can't shake that kind of stuff. So the nudge of the Holy Spirit is, it's that prompting, that urging. You just feel that, oh, I just got to talk. I just got to do this. I got to go here. I got to go there. I remember a friend of mine was driving. He was an evangelist, and he was driving up this road, and it was a big hill, and then there was a crest at the hill. And he was listening to a cassette tape, and the Holy Spirit said, "Pull over and get another tape." And he said, "Well, Holy Spirit, the only tapes I have are in the trunk." And he said, "Pull over that nag. Pull over, pull over, pull over, pull over." He finally pulled over, got into his trunk, pulled out another tape, got back in the car, flicked it in, and then drove up. And when he crested the hill, just over the hill, there had been an accident, a head-on accident, which he would have been the one hit. You got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he'll direct you. Because he wants to teach you. He wants to instruct you. He wants you to be successful. God wants his babies to be blessed, not cursed.
Amen.
So that voice is so powerful. But I want to say probably the greatest way that you and I are led, the easiest way to identify the leading of the Holy Spirit besides the word, is that called peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you are also called into one body, and be thankful." The word peace there in the Greek means a governor. Does anybody know what a governor is? I couldn't fix an engine if I wanted to. Right. But like a school bus has a governor in it. You can't go over 60 miles an hour. No matter how hard you put your gas down, you're not going over 60 miles an hour. Because in the school buses, they put governors on their bus. Now, I don't know what it is now. That's when I used to drive. That was a long time ago. 60 miles an hour is the speed limit. Might be 70 now or 65. If you have a lawnmower, how many of you know that there's a governor on that lawnmower?
Oh, yeah.
Which means you can't just wind it out to what it could actually do, because it could go a lot faster than you're able to go.
Like on a mini bike.
That's right, a mini bike. Well, what happens is they put a governor or a restrictor on it. The Bible says that, "And let the peace of God rule or govern or be a restrictor in your heart." The greatest way that I personally love to be led by the Holy Spirit is I call red light, green light. You ever play that game?
Yay,
red light, green light, red light, green light. How many of you have ever run a red light? How many of you maybe read a red light and got hit?
What?
Whoa, oh, we got one, glory.
Got a ticket.
Got a ticket? Why'd you get a ticket?
Because there's a cop right there 2 times.
How many of you know running a red light's bad?
No,
it's not only dangerous, but it can cost you. Red light, green light, it's called the peace of God. And that is this. When you're getting ready to move forward in the things of the Holy Spirit, move forward in God, and you all of a sudden feel that, oh, something just not right. You can't explain it. It doesn't make sense because everything looks right. Everything looks good. But inside is this nagging, nasty, ugly, foul feeling inside. And you can't shake it. That's called red light. When you feel that nasty, I got that nasty feeling. Oh, that nasty feeling. I got that nasty feeling and it won't go. You don't even know the song. You're too young. Red light, green light. When you feel that restrictor, when you feel that ugly, nasty feeling, no matter what you want, no matter how good it looks, stop. Don't move. Red light. Peace is gone. Ain't right. I don't know. I can't understand it. Now this goes, and what I love about the Holy Spirit and God is he works in every area of your life. So it's not just in big decisions, but small decisions. I remember in 1995, my dog was hit on April 2nd, my birthday, out on Route 13. Great dog. He was lined up for two breedings. I lost a Weatherby gun out of this whole situation and a dog. I mean, the Weatherby gun, you know, I was going to breed him. So here we are. The dog's dead. And in 1995, the Holy Spirit told me, I want you to move. I want you to go on the road as an evangelist. Well, I really didn't hear that until like June or July. But I looked at my wife and I said, my dog's dead. Every man deserves a dog. And she said, no more dogs. No more dogs. I said, no, every man deserves a dog. She said, no more dogs. I don't want another dog. And I looked at her and I said, no, listen, you don't understand. I'm buying a dog. So you better get used to this idea because every man deserves a dog. So I found a dog up in Penyan, New York. And I called them and I said, I'd like to buy one of your dogs. And they said, sure. It's where Wayne got his. And they said, sure, we've got a new litter that just came out. Be ready in a certain amount of time. But inside I felt that. And I said to myself, self, every man deserves a dog. So I ended up going up there, and guess what? When I walked into the place and I held the puppies, they were beautiful. And inside I felt that nasty, ugly, don't do this feeling. What's the big deal? It's a dog. And I said to myself, every man deserves a dog. So I bought that dog. I bought that dog and I brought him home. But you see, the Holy Spirit knows your future and you don't. And the Holy Spirit knew that in three more months we were moving. And moving into a two-bedroom apartment with three children, one who was Corinne, just born 1 month, the two boys, my mother-in-law, and now a dog. He was a nice dog. But boy, it was a lot of pain in the rear end because I bought the dog. Was the dog evil? No. But the Holy Spirit know that it was going to cost me? Yes. I should have listened to the don't do it. Red light, green light. Now, green light is when, hey, all of a sudden, you just start moving forward. And some people will even say to you, don't do that. That doesn't make sense. One idea, one situation I had one time is, remember when Corning Incorporated dropped and their stock dropped to $1.27? I had a certain amount of money, and I was talking to this guy who was a day trader in the church, and I said, I'm going to buy shares in Corning Incorporated. And he looked at me, he goes, don't do it. That's a really stupid move. And I said to the Holy Spirit, is it okay that I buy these stocks? And I didn't feel, that's green light. I green lighted it. I went out and I bought the stocks. And later on, I ended up selling at $9.50 or $9.60 or something like that. And I bought a Harley Davidson. I'd always wanted a Harley. I was able to buy my Harley because of a small investment in a stock that someone told me not to do, and they were more intelligent in that process than I, but I felt the freedom in the Holy Ghost to do so. Red light, green light.
Can we play that game?
No.
What is
Okay. The last one is this, the gifts of the Holy Spirit as confirmation. When somebody speaks over your life, it should be a confirming word to you. I did have somebody on Sunday actually come up and say, do you have a word for me? You know, they had me pray for them, and they said, did you hear anything from the Lord for me? And I said, no. And they were really disappointed. I mean, seriously disappointed. And I said, but you need to realize that I'm not the voice of God. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God, and he dwells inside of you. What did he tell you? Well, he already told me. I says, then what are you asking me to confirm it for? But yet at the same time, there's nothing wrong with the confirming word of the Holy Spirit. But always remember in the gifts of the Spirit with prophecy, which would be actually called the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit will confirm his word to you. If it is not confirming, then you take that, stick it in your back pocket. If it's really God, it will come to fruition. We had a situation one time that occurred where my wife and I were moving to Massachusetts. We had been offered a church in Marlboro, Massachusetts. And so we moved out there. We were brand new married. And I remember a lady, she comes to this church, actually. She's been under our ministry now since 1991. And she came up to me, so this is 1995-ish, and she said, the Holy Spirit told me you're going to go be a pastor at a little white church with red doors. And I'm thinking in my head, she missed that one because it's a brick church with clear doors. It was an old bank. And so I just said, well, thank you very much for the word of the Lord, you know, and I'm off and doing my thing. Well, my wife and I went on a weekend because we knew they were voting on us that week. We knew it was going to be a hefty church responsibility, rebuilding what a pastor had destroyed. Came back after the weekend and called the church and said, are we set? And they said, oh, you didn't hear. And I says, no. And they said, well, there was a superintendent change and the new superintendent didn't know you. We're sorry, you're a transitional casualty. So here I am stuck at my father's house with a brand new bride living in my sister's room. You know that ain't gonna work. So I worked 40 hours a week at Tom McCann. And 40 hours a week at D'Angelo's, which is like a glorified Subway. I worked 80 hours a week. We moved into a one-bedroom apartment. And one day, the Holy Spirit said, go to your father's house. I went down the highway, Route 2, got off the road, getting ready to go down Baldwinville Road, and looked over, and there is a little white church with a red door. It had been closed for probably 20 years or more, probably more than that. It was built in the 1800s. And the Holy Spirit said to me, grass that high and paint peeling off. And the Holy Spirit said, go in and ask the guy next door how much to rent it. Knocked on the door. I says, you know, do you know anything about that church? He goes, yeah, I'm the caretaker. I said, you know, how much to rent it? And he goes, I don't know, free. Hand me the keys. It was a two-seater outhouse church. No running toilet. Two-seater outhouse. Get a new bag of lime, baby. And I started pastoring in a little white church with red doors. Isn't that cool? That is not the primary way. That is the way God will work, but is always confirming. Amen? So you're led by the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're led by the nudge. You're led by the nag. You're led by what? Your wife? No, not your wife. Number one, you're led by the word and you're led by peace. Please be led by the peace of God. God will save your hiney. He'll save your bacon so many times if you actually listen to him. I'm talking like he'll save your bacon. Save your bacon. I was talking to a man just recently and he was making a decision to leave the church. He was mad at somebody. And I looked at his wife and I knew that she wasn't in agreement with him at all. And I looked at him and I said, you know, actually, it's not God's will for you to leave this church. You know it as well as I do. You're mad at somebody. You're leaving angry. And God's blessing will not be on you. And he said to me, well, I made my decision. And I looked and I said, I don't know. Maybe you should listen to the Holy Spirit through your wife who's talking to you. Really didn't go over well. and he still left. So, but hey, got one shot, take it. You know what I mean? But it's important to be led by that peace. But you got to know the word. Especially when hell starts licking your toes. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices out there. Those voices will not lead you to the blessing. You got to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody got any questions? Wow, we did it. Don't tell anybody. Anybody have it? Yes. Astronomy is, now astrology is the science of the stars, but astronomy is witchcraft. Witches are witchcraft. Astronomy is witchcraft. Tarot cards are witchcraft. Tea leaf reading is witchcraft. Palm reading is witchcraft. Crystal balls are witchcraft. Seance is a witchcraft. Psychics are witchcraft, even if they call themselves a pastor like the one in Spencer. It's still witchcraft. Doesn't matter if you put just a title of it doesn't matter if you put a title of reverend on the title of your name. If you're a psychic, you're still going to hell. So, amen. Those are never God. Anybody have any questions? I thought it was pretty good tonight, didn't you? I got through it quickly.
Whew.
I'm so glad you came. Thanks for connecting on Facebook. This young lady's brand new tonight. Amen. We're glad to have you. Isn't it great? Isn't it fun? I told you it's addicting. It's a good addiction, though. 2 years, it is addicting. Ooh, Jesus.
I've been here for my whole life.
Well, you've been in this church your whole life. There's no question. No more questions? Let's all stand. I want to remind you the offering plate is on over there. We ask that you be led by the Holy Spirit in your giving. You ever notice that we do that when we receive a special offering? I never tell you how much to give. I always tell you to ask the Holy Spirit. He'll always direct you. Always choose the higher number. It's always God. Your flesh will always choose the lower number. The higher number is always Jesus. Father, we just speak blessing. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for living in us. Thank you so much that you love us and that you'll guide us and that you'll keep us safe. Not just safe, but God, you'll keep us in a place where abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine will be our portion. Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. And Lord, that your truth bends facts. Because, Lord, your truth is our reality as you are our reality as our Messiah and our Savior. So tonight, Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll give us and teach us how to be led by you. Lord, there are many in this room that have never understood how to be led by you. We ask that tonight you will take this lesson, you will take these scriptures, and you'll help us be led by you so that no matter what we do, we'll live in success. Lord, we honor you and thank you. Bless the offering. Bless our trip home. Lord, let us lead someone to Jesus this week. In your name we pray. Amen.